This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Welcome to The Changing Face of Fairview, a series of programmes about how Fairview has changed over time.
Yes, you're all very welcome to Smith's here in Fairview. We've got an eclectic bunch of people ahead of us. It's the Fairview Variety Concert, and it's a documentary that's being put together by John Houghton. So, okay, without further ado, I'm Jerry Cooley's my name. I'm the man tasked with trying to keep it all moving along smoothly. So without further ado, we're going to welcome on Ciol Terry Clún Tarrab.
So I'm here with Betty and Rose. Hello, ladies. Is there what do you love about Fairview, Rose?
What?
What do you love about Fairview?
Everything. Yeah, the convenience. As you get older, all these things mean something.
Yeah. And what about the people in Fairview?
The which?
The people around here.
Well, we are fine.
I'm going to call Dennis McIntyre. He's going to be coming up shortly. He's our very own Bram Stoker man. He's going to give us an insight into the man himself, who has a historical attachment to the place, of course, because he was born here in 1847. Now, not Dennis. Dracula. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Dennis McIntyre. Thank you.
We tend to go for the well-known writers like Beckett, Yeats, Joyce, and you know why? We meet those in school. Stoker has not been on the school curriculum, and his name doesn't sound particularly Irish. And if you go through his work, it's more Irish than the whole lot. And his one book, Dracula, outsells Wilde, Yeats, Joyce, the whole lot of them put together. It's some record.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sure, I read it when I was in school in Brussels. I went to school in Brussels for a year, and we had Dracula on the curriculum there, but not here.
Yeah.
So what would you think that makes Fairview stand out as an area? Why do you like it?
I think it's a very traditional area. I think there's some wonderful history attached to Fairview. You know, the churches and Lord Charlemont in particular, you know, wonderful history. And I love the story of the Crescent itself, you know, back to where Bram Stoker and his wife were born, Florence Malcolm. Many people might be familiar with that story, but the Crescent is the beautiful little crescent of houses which joins the end of the Howth and Malahide roads.
And what do you like about living here in particular?
Well, I like the whole ambience. You're near the sea. I love the sea, the water. And particularly now the Promenade and Fairview Park. It's very, you know, very beautiful, and particularly in summertime and that, with the flowers and everything else. I like its proximity to the city. You can walk. I love to walk in, either via the North Strand or Ballybough and Summerhill. I'm near Croke Park. I love sport. I'm near Tolka Park. I love soccer as well as Gaelic. This holy area was once known as the Holy Land, with All Hallows and the one across from Croke Park, there's so many convents and schools and whatever else. And I think there's a special awe about the whole area, of reverence and of tradition and history. And you know, it's a, the people, it's, there's a slight tradition of seafaring here still, I think, and I like that because, you know, the sea is something very special about the sea.
How's it going, folks? You're all very welcome to our little cartoon. This is Mr. Conor Lyons on the bouzouki. He's also a world Baron champion, but he didn't bother bringing it with him tonight. So you won't get the pleasure of hearing him doing that. You have to pay £1 million for him to do that. Yeah, £1 million. Yeah, he only works in sterling as well. And my name is Barra McAllister. Less accomplished, but sure, I'll try my best to entertain you for the next while. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're just moving through the repertoire we have before us this evening. We're going to call up Pádraig De Burca. Okay, so Pádraig De Burca, get up here and tell us all about the Fairview Residents Association.
And can I start off by saying a big word of thanks to John and Neil and Blaw and everybody at Near FM who've had anything to do with organising this. It's a great old session tonight. And you never know, maybe there'll be another one soon, with a bit of luck. Anyway, I'm here just to say a few words about Fairview Residents Association. Now, the Residents Association has been around for a number of years. Historically, we've had to concentrate on planning issues and things like that. And because of that, you can thank us for having trees, big historic trees left on Phillipsburg Avenue, because there's been about three or four occasions over the years where some developer has tried to cut down those trees. So Phillipsburg Avenue still has a lot of its character because of those trees and things like that. So that's a big success. But you know, we have a pretty good committee at the moment, so we're able to widen out and do other things, not just planning. So planning is still there. For example, there's the development at the Ergo site on Richmond Road, and there's development at Fairview Terrace site, just up around the corner here, that we're keeping a close eye on. But planning isn't the only thing we do now. Indeed, we just campaigned to get the Welcome to Fairview fought to Cofiondrach signs, so you may have seen the three of them up around the place. So that's another little success story. Following on from what Dennis McIntyre was saying earlier, we're campaigning for the centenary of Bram Stoker's death next year. We're campaigning to get a statue in honour of Bram Stoker erected at the bottom of the Ballyhide Road, there next to Bram Stoker Park, you know. So that'll be something else that we'd hope to see. One of the things that we're proposing this year is to have a community garden. So we're currently surveying the area to look for a site that would be appropriate for a community garden. So lots of different little things like that. We're being very proactive in a project that we call Fairview 2014, because 2014 was the Battle of Clontarf. The other thing I want to say to you is that we have a website. It's called fairview-merino.com. And then that's a site about everything that's going on in Fairview and Merino. And then if you put slash FRA, Fairview Resident Association, after it, you'll see everything that's going on that the Resident Association are doing. So it's a very rich history and a literary history. And of course, we have famous people coming from Fairview, Maureen Potter perhaps being one of the most famous. And it's all about things like that. And let's not forget the Merino walls.
Okay, we're going to call Pat Farrell and Susan up to the stage. They're going to finish off this first half of the evening. I hope you're enjoying yourself.
This is a song that is actually was written by John Mayall, and it's called Nature's Disappearing. So I hope you enjoy this. Raping water, land and air. Tomorrow may be too late. Now's the time to be aware. Nature's disappearing. It's going down. Do you care? I got a landfill at my door. Lakes and rivers stagnant. Nothing lives or grows like years before. Nature's disappearing. The world you take for granted, soon no more. Read about pollution. Manufacturers uncomfortable. Boycott at the market. Potatoes that are unreturnable. Aluminum, glass, or plastic.
Okay, we're going to call on Carol Jordan now, who's going to give a story.
Okay. In long ago India, in Rajasthan, when warrior princes ruled the land, there was a girl who loved trees. Her name was Amrita, and she lived in a poor village of mud brick houses at the edge of the desert. And on the other side of the village, there grew a wonderful forest. Now every day, Amrita would run to the forest with her braids streeling behind her, and she would seek out her special tree. She would throw her arms around the tree and say in wonder, "Tree, you grow so tall and your leaves are so green. How can we live without you?" For she knew that the trees sheltered them from the hot sun, and they protected them from the howling desert storms, and they showed the people where to find water. Before she left the forest, she would hug her tree again and she would say, "If you are ever in trouble, I will protect you." And the tree rustled back its reply. Now one day, just before the monsoon rains came, the storm howled in from the desert. Within minutes, the sky turned black as night. The lightning cracked the sky as Amrita dashed to the shelter of her house. Inside, she could hear the wind, and the storm grew and grew, and she could hear the sand battering on the shutters. And when at last it quietened, there was sand everywhere. There was sand in her clothes, there was sand in her hair, there was even sand in her food. But she was safe. And the village was safe. And so, as she grew, Amrita's love for the trees also grew. And in time, she had children of her own, and she took them to the forest, and she said to them, "The trees are your brothers and sisters, for they shelter you from the baking heat of the sun, and they stand guard against the howling storms from the desert. And where there are trees, there's precious water for us to drink. And she taught them to hug the trees. Now every day when she would go from the forest, she would visit the well to draw water, and she would return home with a large clay pot balanced on her head. And one of these days, on her trips to the well, she came across a band of axemen shouldering heavy axes. And she heard the chief axeman say to the others, "Chop down every tree you can find, for the Maharaja needs them to build his new fortress." The Maharaja ruled over that village and many others, and his word was law. Amrita grew afraid for the trees. She followed them and she hid in the forest, and she watched in horror as the axemen took their axes to the trees, and she heard the twang and twang, and still she lay hiding. But when the chief axeman raised his axe to her special tree, she could stand it no longer. She raced out, jumped in front of her tree, and she said, "You cannot cut these trees." The axeman said, "Get out of my way." But she hugged her tree and said, "Chop me instead." The strong axeman shoved her aside and continued, for he only saw the tree that he had been ordered to cut. And he continued to cut and to cut as she watched, heartbroken, until at last her tree lay dying on the ground. She knelt and cradled its branches and she wept. But meanwhile, back in the village, the men and women and even the children had heard of the fate of Amrita's tree, and they rushed to the forest, and in turn they stood in front of the trees, and where the axemen went with their axes, they stood and defended the trees. And the axemen could do no more harm that day, and they returned empty-handed to the Maharaja. Well, and they say many, many years afterwards that Amrita still comes to the forest, and she says, "O trees, you are so tall and your leaves are so green. How can we live without you?" Now, in the story, all ended well, but actually this was a true story, except that in the true story, Amrita Devi and hundreds of her fellow villagers actually died in defence of their trees. And from this was born the Chipku, or tree hugger movement, and long may they live. Thank you.
So, okay, we're going to change our tact here. It's something completely different. We're going to have a member, Jason Owusu, from the Solid Rock Gospel Choir, is going to be coming up to do a solo number. So hold on one moment, please. Thank you.
Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong to carry you, 'cause I know I don't belong here in heaven. Times could bring you down, times can bend your knees. Time could break your heart, times can beg and please, beg and please.
So is Fairview much different to how it was when you moved here, and what's different about it?
Well, what's different about the road that I live in is that there are only about three families living on the road. The rest of the houses are let either as flats or bedsitters, mostly bedsitters. Four of my sons live in America now.
America? And why would they leave Fairview?
I love going to America for holidays, yeah, but I love coming back.
It's fantastic.
One lives in San Francisco, one in Colorado, two in Boston.
Folks, are you enjoying the night?
Oh yeah, very much.
What are you liking about it?
You know, I like real life, like here in the pub, you know, with the local Irish people from Fairview District.
Great. Are you enjoying it as well?
Am I enjoying?
Yeah, are you enjoying?
Yeah, very much. It's as he, my friend said, it's a very nice atmosphere. There is a lot of, different kind of people in here, like very mixed audience. And yeah, the music was interesting.
I'm going to call our last singer. Before we do, Blaheen, make your way up here. The lady in the red hair.
Croaky may shoulders go, we may shear. O Roma Coracino, Scaia Eloin, Nioci Menir. O Roma Vagin, O Roma Coracin, Coracino, Isu.
Dreams to fulfill require you exercise your will. Life's gift, a sense of sovereignty. Exercise your right, demonstrate your might. Show the world you too can be free. Guided by your heart, prepared to play your part. Move beyond the impossible in life. Changes that you make, chances that you take. Prove in time your heart is always right. Prepared to take the chance, participate in the dance. Afraid of the peril as you leap. Yet spinning through the air, the wind of grace within your hair safely puts you down upon your feet. Every time you're knocked down, flat out on the ground, close your eyes, go back to your source, and recall as you lie there in the depths of your despair, inner spirit is your strength, your resource. Do all you can as a woman or a man, knock as many doors life presents. And surely as you're here, you'll overcome the fear. Resistance before you, it relents. Back on those dancing feet, no acceptance of defeat. In the battle that is life, we're here to wage. And deep within your being, the spirit that is seen defeats the darkness, the plague upon the age.
I'm going to call on John just to say a few words to finish off the evening, please. Here he is.
I was at an event a few years ago, and somebody said to me this. They said, if we destroy our heritage, we'll have no stories to tell. You see? So it's really what Paul was talking about to a certain extent, other people. It's about our heritage, you know, where we came from, where we are, and to a certain extent, where we're going. But during the Celtic Tiger thing, we were destroying our heritage like mad. So we have to cop on and start preserving our heritage and not destroying it. Now, there's an Irish phrase, just to finish off, there's an Irish phrase, and Pádraic and Lochine and a lot of people are into Irish. Irishness, part the language is part of what we are. There's a phrase called Níl Neart Go Cur Le Chéile, right? You don't have strength until you work together. So one of my ulterior motives is to get people in Fairview working more and more together. And Forest Friends, my organisation, then, we want to work with other people. So we're going to devise community gardens and all that kind of stuff. Wasn't bad again.
We're going to move on to Sean O'Neill, acoustic folk guitarist.
Next time I come around, next time I'll settle in, find a love that sings, teaches me to bring everything that I can be to love. Love. Next time I come around, I'll stand on firmer ground, be the me I know I am, won't pretend, and so I'll be free to live and give to love. Love. I'll ride the rodeo, I'll learn to take all the falls and the applause. Next time I will not hide, risk everything there is to give, and live for love, so when I'm born again, next time I won't pretend, I'll find a truer self, next time I won't sell out hope, next time around, I'll live for love.
I would like to thank all those who participated in this program and in the series The Changing Face of Fairview, and a special thanks to the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland for their sponsorship of the series.
This program was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.